Why don't we turn to each other, say, hey, good looking, and give him a big hug. Huh? Right? Now, no handshakes, I want hugs, okay? All right, you guys can sit down. And you'll know why I had you do that in a second. But let me read as we have been doing all along, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own. It's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for your love, Lord God. And sometimes we, Lord, try to relate your love by our own love, God, our own selfishness and our own self-seeking ways, Lord. But God, we pray for a divine revelation of agape love, God, in the midst of us. Lord, help us to love one another, God, as you love us, God. Help us to really care, Father God, and really be able to express, Lord, it by our different love languages, God, the way that you love us and the way that you love people. Lord, right now, God, we ask for the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us, God, and reveal your word and your nature to us today. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, Lord. God, we bless you. We thank you so much, God. And in Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to try to keep it short today as much as possible. You know, so I'm physically exhausted. If you can pray for me throughout the service, I'd appreciate it. Yesterday, I had a softball game in the morning, played basketball right afterwards, and went straight to Dragon Boat, then straight to GIC class, and then we had a leaders meeting afterwards. And I went home, and I passed out, man. You know, I didn't realize I'm not 25 years old anymore and stuff, so I'll try to do the best that I can today. But we talked throughout this time, we've been talking about love language. This is the last installment of that. And obviously, the last love language that we have is physical touch, right? And so I got to be very careful the way I present this to you, because most of you are not married, right? And so it's very, if you guys were all married, man, we can go for hours talking about physical touch, right? In a very good way, but you're not married. So I got to be careful, right? So let's go through the other ones, right? The first one we talked about is words of affirmation, right? Quality time, receiving gifts, and the week before Easter, we talked about acts of service. By the way, really, thank you for everyone that came out to clean the church, right? And especially appropriate that week when our love language we're studying was acts of service. You know, you came out to serve, and it was really a wonderful thing. You know, one of the things we don't realize is how important physical touch is in our life. We actually sometimes don't even understand that how intricately woven physical touch is in the cultures that we live in. You know, in American culture, a way of acceptance when you greet someone is what? You shake someone's hand. Why don't you shake someone's hand next to you, right? In American culture, this is a sign of acceptance. I accept your friendship. Hello, welcome, blah, 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 right? I went to France a couple years ago before I came to Hong Kong, and I spoke at an Algerian church. You know, and when I was at the Algerian church, their way of accepting you and greeting you was to kiss you, right? And so they have a custom in church that after the pastor speaks, he goes to the end of the, you know, like the door there, you know, it'd be like kind of the elevator here at church, you know, and he greets everybody, right? And so I've never been kissed so many times by so many different men, mostly with beards, right? You know, and it's not just, it's the, right? It's a double kiss. And apparently, if you know that person, it could be 3-4 times, right? Just boom, 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 right? And so I think the pastor's wife really liked me, and I got like 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? And so they kind of vary, but it's, you know, this way it was an act of acceptance. And, you know, like, I hello, welcome, you know? And a lot of that was, you know, also greeted with a hug, you know? And unfortunately, most of us are Korean, and we just do this to one another, right? and stuff, and you know, Japanese as well. That's why those countries are messed up, man, right? There's just not enough touching going on there. You know, I grew up, I remember the first time, you know, because, yeah, growing up in the Korean setting, you know, obviously my mom, you know, very much so, you know, touched us and hugged us all the time. But growing up, my dad never hugged me, you know, it's just not Korean manly thing to do, you know. And so I remember when I was in university, it was probably the first time that another guy actually hugged me. And it was one of these, like, you know, like you get a hug and you're like, why are you touching me, man, right? And things, and it's just, you know, one of those weird, and we kind of now, obviously, we're very used to hugging and touching and these kind of things. But it's so much around us, so much more than we think it is. In a lot of ways, it's a sign of approval, right? Physical touch is incredibly important to us. You know, you may not really think so, but it really, really is. Physical touch is one of the ways of communicating emotional love, right? It goes hand in hand. Obviously, you can tell someone, you know, I love you, you know, but, you know, it's kind of like when you're in that dating relationship, you know, it kind of progresses on, right? And you know, first it's the words, you know, and then it's the hand holding, and then it's the hug, you know, and then it's the caressing. And I'm going to stop there, right? So, you know, because you're not married yet, like I said, right? So we're not going to continue on, you know, but these are all different ways of communicating emotional love, you know, and there's something important there. You know, there's a number of research, you know, if you look at these medical journals, psychological journals, you know, in the area of child development that tell us that babies that are held, that are hugged, that are kissed, develop into healthier emotional beings, right? The children than those who are left for long periods of time without being hugged or kissed or without any kind of physical contact. You know, it's just one of those things. You know, I as a father, I say thank you, you know, for holding, kissing, hugging Elise, right? Because when you're doing that, I mean, obviously you're getting a thrill out of it, I know, right? But the other side is that you're building into her emotional character, right? You're helping her to, you know, to connect with people, and it's a wonderful thing. I remember years ago, you know, when I used to come And by the way, when Haji was talking about Sports Services International, actually Jimmy started this ministry here in Hong Kong years ago, and I came as a university student to play basketball, and you know, and it was called Summer of Sports, and so our team would come during the summer and we'd play and things, but we also had these times where we did work basically. And one particular summer, we went to Mother's Choice, which, you know, some of you have heard, is a ministry here in Hong Kong, started by a YWAMer, you know, a missionary, and all they basically do is they take care of babies. And so it was kind of like my first, it was really an eye-opening experience, really, you know, and because, you know, what we did is the girls on our team, they went, and their job was to hug the babies, right? At Mother's Choice, they put a premium on loving these kids. A lot of these kids are abandoned. You know, a lot of these kids were found in gutters or you know, found on doorsteps and, you know, are products of unwanted marriages and these kind of things. And so these babies would come, and I would hear these ladies tell these stories. And it really made me think a lot about when I'm going to have kids, you know, and about what I was going to do when I had kids. And there was actually a room back then. I don't know if the room still exists now, but there was a room downstairs where it was a kind of a private room. And the only volunteers that can come into that room were the ones that came every single day. And these were the children that were, you know, had the worst stories in essence, that were left alone, you know, and totally abandoned. And they would come into Mother's Choice and they would be just these like robots, you know, and if people touched them, they would just freak out because they weren't accustomed to that. But once, you know, a worker came in and really loved the baby and cared for the baby, you know, the baby, there would be some life in this child. But the reason why they had him come every day, because as soon as the person left, the kid would just go crazy. And so there had to be consistency in relationship, even with the newborn baby. You know, and so, you know, we recognize, yeah, touch is incredibly important. You know, in some studies that I've read, that the fact that you were touched or untouched as a little child affects your personality even to this day. You know, the term anal retentive, you know, or, you know, just, you know, people are just really tight and just don't loosen up. You know, some studies have said that it could possibly be because they weren't nurtured, you know, well enough when they were a little baby. You know, and we see the incredible importance that touch plays in our life, in this area of physical contact. You know, this is not just a modern idea when we talk about, playing with babies and these kind of things. You know, this was a very important idea, and Jesus even understood the importance of physical touch. Turn to Mark chapter 10. And in Mark chapter 10, we have this kind of quirky story laid in between Jesus teaching about divorce and then the rich young ruler. It seems to come out of nowhere, you know. But obviously, John Mark has something specific to say. And in Mark 10, verse 13, it says, "And they were bringing children to him so he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them." You know, what a beautiful picture of Jesus. Right, he's in this situation, right, and you know these throngs of people around. You know these parents, you know, want you know kids to come. And I mean, if I was a parent, you know, I'd want Jesus to bless my kid too. You know what I mean? You know, even you know we have like prominent pastors or evangelists or you know prophetic people, and you know, like you know, I want my kid to get prayed for. You know, and so these parents were in the same boat. You know, and so they were you know rushing in, and the disciples were like, "Nah, you know, you little punk kids, get out of here," kind of thing. You know, and Jesus says he was indignant. He was very upset with these guys. You know, and he became very angry. He says, "Hey, stop what you're doing and let the children come." You know, and he teaches them a lesson, but he embraces them. He hugs them. He cares for them, right? I mean, he understood the importance, you know, that this was, right? And you know, this idea of physical touch is not just important for children, right? It's important for us as adults. You know, there are also other studies in hospitals that have shown that nurses, you know, when patients are going into surgery or when they're, you know, are sick or having some kind of condition, you know, that nurses that have actually come and you know, held hands of the people that are about to go into surgery or just caressed their arm or, you know, or just, you know, patted them on the shoulder or something, or if there was some kind of nurture and some kind of physical touch, some studies have shown that those people got better much quicker than other people that were left alone, you know, that didn't get that physical encouragement in their life. And so we see that there's some power in touch. Also recognize that Jesus, when he ministers, what does he do? He lays hands on people. You know, they're, you know, he could have just, you know, because, I mean, he's powerful, right? Go, you know, speak to the sickness. Out now, you know, or, you know, do something. But he made sure that he came in close proximity and he touched that person, right? He laid hands on the illness, you know. He laid hands on the part of the body that was ill, you know, or he laid hands on their head, you know, and he blessed them in that way. Right, and so this is not just a children's thing, you know, phenomenon, but physical touch is something that's important for all of us, right? Physical touch is a powerful vehicle for communicating love, right? Especially marital love, right? You know, holding hands, kissing, embracing, and as a married couple, sexual intercourse, right? These are all ways of communicating emotional love to one another. By the way, in a couple months, I'm going to be spending a long series talking about sex, right? Because you guys got it all messed up, man. I'm just telling you, right? Most of us, we have this whole thing messed up. And so just look forward to that later on, right? We're not going to get into it now, but just something's going to happen later on. And hopefully it'll change your life as we talk about that, you know, for a good way and stuff. And so if you're immature, plan to miss church those days, okay? So if you're going to giggle throughout the whole time, right, then, you know, listen to it, you know, on the computer afterwards, you know, or something, because it's going to be a serious but good discussion, right? And so, you know, for some people, right, physical touch is their primary love language. Anyone here that you know your love language is physical touch? Right? Only one person? Will, did you have one different one last week? It's like, he just wants affirmation, right? And stuff. So, you know, physical touch is important. This is, you know, and because we're all different, right? You know, we all, our love or how we receive love is communicated very differently. You know, for some of us, we don't like to, is there anyone here that you just don't like to be touched? Right? Josephine, some of you guys, right? Wow, girls? I thought for sure it would be a few guys, right? I mean, honestly, it's like, I just don't like people touching me. You know? Oh, it depends on who. Oh. Wow. So if it's Brad Pitt, it's okay, right? Is that what you guys are trying to say? So you're not adverse to touch? I mean, I'm talking about, I'm just, forget it, let's move on, right? All right, so for a lot of us, you know, if our primary language is physical touch, if you don't receive that, you'll actually feel quite unloved and you will feel quite insecure, right? And obviously we're not talking about, you know, you meet everyone and everyone needs to touch you. You know, you go to the grocery store, oh man, the clerk didn't touch me, I just don't feel loved, you know, or that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that are significant to you. You know, and if those people, if this would be your parents or your siblings or your close friends or something, and if you receive love by physical touch, and that's your primary love language, when that's not happening, when that's not communicated to you, you feel very unloved. You know, that's just one of those things. We're just all wired differently. You know, thank God that we're different. You know, can you imagine if we're all the same? I mean, this would be a pretty boring place. You know, and so, you know, for people that physical touch is their primary love language, it'll be very important to love them in that way. You know, and so if you are close to Aaron or Will, you know, who else raised their hand and said that physical touch is your primary love language? I saw another hand. Was it by Jimmy, right? Are the ones that, you know, probably the best thing you can do is when you see them, you know, is not just say hi, hello, but probably to give them a big hug. You know, that will communicate so much more to them, you know, that they're loved and they're accepted than if you told them, you know, 500 great things about them. You know, obviously that wouldn't hurt either, right? But there's something about that idea of physical touch that is really important, right? Now, usually when this topic is given, right, people just assume and connect physical touch with sex, right? Sex is only one dialect of touch, right? It's, you know, and, you know, a lot of times we tend to focus on it so much, but sex is just one part of that, right? There's so much more that's going on. You know, out of the five senses, right, you guys know the five, right? Smell, taste, sight, and hearing. You know, touch, out of the five, touch is not limited to one localized area of the body, right? It's not. Right. In fact, there's in our body, right, I'm giving you a neurology of touch now, right, we have tiny, you know, tactile receptors all over our body that are very sensitive. You know the most sensitive part of your body? Do you know what it is? Or one of? Have any idea? The tip of your tongue, right? Very well be one of the most sensitive. Also, another very sensitive is the tips of your fingers. That's why God put fingernails and toenails. Right, because underneath that, there's so many nerves that are running through, it needs to be protected. Have you guys ever had even a hangnail? Dang, those suckers hurt, right? I mean, just this little thing, because inside our fingers, the tips of our fingers, are so many tactile receptors, right? Some parts of our body are not as sensitive to other parts. You know the least sensitive part of your body is? Do you know what it is? Have any idea? It's actually your shoulders. It's like right here. This is the least sensitive part of your body, right? And so, you don't have to know that, right? I just threw that out there for you guys, you know. And so, what happens is when those receptors are touched, right, or they're pressed, these nerves send signals, right, impulses to the brain. The brain then interprets those impulses, and based on, you know, how it's done or whatever, you know, we perceive that what is touched is either warm or it's cold, you know, or it's hard or it's soft. You know, it either causes pain or it causes pleasure. You know, we may even interpret it as loving or as hostile, right? Now, let's do a little exercise, okay? Partner up with someone here, if you can, right? Give them, right, a really loving shoulder rub. Really loving. Okay. Now. Okay, ready? Okay, we can stop now. This is not a massage parlor. This is church, right? Now, give that person a hostile massage. Right? Now, even if actually, I couldn't do this without telling you, but even if I told you, or, you know, didn't tell you, or I had one group, you can feel, right? Man, is this loving? Or is this, you know, is someone like really want to take care of me? Or is someone trying to kill me, right? And all that is done by these receptors that are all over our body. You know, they're everywhere, right? Like I say, some parts of the body are more sensitive than others. You know, the reason is that we have all these, you know, receptors everywhere, but the areas that we're sensitive, they're actually our clusters, right? And so, like, you know, parts of our back, especially our lower back, you know, our lower parts of our abdomen, our face, you know, there's a lot of clusters of these receptors there. And so it's, you know, that's why it just feels better in certain areas, right? And so that's what this whole thing's all about. You know, and like I said, the tip of the tongue, obviously, because, you know, taste and all that is there. You know, if you guys ever got hit in the nose, right, this is one of the most sensitive. What happens when you hit the nose? You start tearing up, even if it's a little jab or something, right? Because there's so many clusters, right, of those receptors that are there, you know, and so many other such sensitive areas. You know, that's why some people, you know, are extremely ticklish. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, I'm a fun, ticklish type of person, right? No, it's just that you just have a lot of these tactile receptors in certain areas. Be under your arm, it could be on your side, you know, at the bottom of your feet. You know, for other people, you know, like, I'm in Hong Kong, right? It's so famous for going foot massage, right? There's some people that, you know, foot massage, and like even the slightest thing, you know, because, you know, for some, it's like, do it harder, man, do it harder, you know, get your elbow in there. And so because it probably, you know, the tactile, you know, cluster is not as strong. You know, my feet are really sensitive and stuff, so I don't really like people touching my feet too much, you know, but because I've got a lot of clusters there, you know, but other people may not have that. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that everyone is sensitive in certain areas, you know, but it you know, because of the clusters, you know, we know. Do you guys know what parts of your body are very sensitive by now? Right? You guys, how many guys here are not ticklish? Right? A few of you? We'll test it out after service today. You know, let's see if we're telling the truth or not. You know, but these are all these little clusters that happen here. You know, and obviously our purpose of our discussion here is not to understand the physiology of touch, right? You know, but rather to really look at the emotional significance and the importance, you know, that happens in our lives psychologically. You know, physical touch can make or break a relationship, right? It really can. It can communicate, you know, love to one another, or it can communicate something totally different. You know, to the person whose primary love language is physical touch, right, the message would be far louder than the words, I hate you or I love you, right? A slap in the face, you know, to a young child, you know, could be very detrimental, but to a child whose primary love language is physical touch, it can be absolutely devastating, right? You know, these little things that happen. You know, a tender hug can communicate love to any child, right? But to a child whose primary love language is physical touch, I mean, it speaks volumes of love. You know, it shouts love to that child. And the same is true of adults, every single one of us. You know, we have to recognize our body, right? Whatever there is of me resides in my body. True? Right? Whatever there is of you resides in your body, right? To touch my body is to touch me. Right? I mean, that's really what it's about, right? To withdraw from my body is to distance yourself from me emotionally. Have you ever been in a situation, you know, where you greeted someone, or, you know, maybe it's someone you knew or things, and you stuck your hand out to shake him, you know, and all of a sudden the person just stood there like this, right? You know, and it's just physical touch. No. Right? It meant rejection. Right? It meant something was not right in that relationship. You know, and so, you know, or, you know, been in a group where, you know, maybe there's six of you around and a person comes and greets everyone, hugs them, and to you, they just, And you know that, you know what I mean? It's physical touch, right? It's really important in relationship. You know, it communicates a lot of things to many of us, and especially if this is your primary love language, right? It speaks volumes to you. You know, there's, you know, like I said, all societies in some form, you know, have some form of physical touching as a way of greeting, right? It's invaluable in different cultures. You know, and obviously this needs to be said. There are also very appropriate and inappropriate ways of touching people from the opposite sex. You know, I had a friend who used to live in Korea, and she after a while she was a lawyer there, and she just stopped riding the subways. You know, because, you know, she'd be in the subway and just these guys would, you know, and I don't know if it was deliberate. You know, I'd like to, you know, give my countrymen the benefit of the doubt, you know, but she would a lot of times be touched inappropriately in the subways. And so it didn't, she, you know, ever since then, it was all about taking the cab, you know. And so, you know, especially in our workplaces, the incredible emphasis that you see on sexual harassment. You know, it's very prevalent in our society because, you know, we're so unaware of how valuable touch is in our life that we don't know how to use it significantly. You know, when you, you know, meet someone and, you know, and of course, you know, I say hug, you know, and stuff at church. You know, obviously, if it's a person of the opposite sex, you know, I don't want you to pick them up, you know what I mean? Or, you know, or let your hand roam somewhere. You know, I mean, I'm being very serious that way because that's inappropriate. You know, that's not a way of expressing, you know, greeting to one another. You know, different parts of the body, you know, obviously to a woman, you know, this is okay, you know, but, you know, anything else, you know what I mean? It's not appropriate. And so we need to understand, you know, there's something about, you know, I'll tell you, you know how valuable touch is? That when you're touched inappropriately, right, it is really bothersome. You know what I mean? I mean, it is incredibly troubling. You know, one of my first jobs I ever had, you know, a proper job, I'm not talking about working for my parents, right? A proper job is I used to be an outdoor vendor at Disneyland, right? It was my junior year in high school, and I was the guy out there. I had to wear those funny suits and serve popcorn. And, you know, the worst job was actually balloons because your arm was like this the whole time, right? I mean, tons of balloons, right? You know, and I mean, it's very, you know, I mean, that was by far the worst. But I remember particularly, and I still remember, you know, that one night I had to work a grad night, you know, and this is when, like, high school students, their senior year, they stay out all night and they go to Disneyland. It's not very fun, but I don't know why they do it. You know, and I had to work these grad nights, you know, and I remember one particular grad night, my partner that I was working with, you know, she had some kind of problem, and she just kept touching me the whole day. You know, and it just wasn't, yeah, it was just really weird, right? And I think she was kind of, you know, on drugs or something, you know, and it's still a very vivid reminder in my mind, you know, and I felt really horrible, you know, about this situation. And it kind of, you know, that kind of set something in my mind, and I recognized, oh, this must be how women feel. You know, when guys do that. And so, I mean, honestly, it really registered in my mind. And so I tried to the best of my ability, you know, not to allow a female to feel what I felt that night. You know, and it was just uncalled for, right? And so, but see, that's the value of touch. You know, I bet some of you, even as I'm speaking, you have been touched inappropriately by someone, and you still remember it. And it's like this, ugh, icky kind of feeling that you get, male and female. You know, and it's how valuable touch is in our lives, in our society. Because obviously, when it's appropriate, you feel wonderful. You know what I mean? I mean, there's, you know, as a husband, right? There's no greater feeling when I'm just, you know, just doing, you know, going about my business, and, you know, my wife comes and just like does this with my hair or something, or, you know, just gives me a hug out of nowhere. Actually, it speaks more volumes when I do it to my wife. Right, it's just, you know, one of those things, but, you know, it just communicates so much love. You know, it communicates care, and all these things. And so, you know, we need to understand clearly our bodies were made for touching, but we're not made for abuse, right? And so I have to be very, very clear with that, right? Our bodies were made for touching, right? God gave us these hands and, you know, our lips and these things, you know, but in a very appropriate way. you know, in a way that blesses the person and glorifies God. You know, another value of touch that we see is that almost instinctively, in times of crisis, right, we hug one another. Right? I mean, it becomes a very natural response for us. You know, someone's father dies. You know, someone, you know, had an accident. You know, something happens, and we immediately, the first thing we do is, oh, and we hug them, right? You know, in times of crisis, also in times of great celebration. You know, I remember when I got married, you know, and actually, Jimmy remembers this. I got married, and we were late to the reception. You know, actually, everyone was late to the reception because people were so happy that I got married, right, as well as myself. We were so happy that, you know, when the couple stands at the family in the greeting line, right, I hugged everybody. You know, Lisa, we hugged everyone. I mean, and just long hugs because we were so happy, you know, and stuff. And so we're like an hour, I think 2 hours late for our reception, you know, because we were having a love feast, right, right outside the church doors. You know, and so, you know, in a time of celebration, in a time of crisis, right, physical touch is a powerful communicator of love. I mean, incredibly powerful. You know, especially in a time of crisis, you know, more than anything, right, we need to feel loved. And we instinctively hug one another. Right? I mean, isn't that amazing? It's just, we're just kind of wired that way. You know, in a lot of these times, right, we cannot always change events. You know, but we can survive if we feel loved. You know, and physical touch is one of those areas. You know, to someone whose primary love language is physical touch, you know, in times of crisis, right, words may mean little, but your physical touch, right, will communicate incredibly that you care, right? And especially those people that are geared in that way as their primary love language, right? Crisis, in a lot of ways, provide a unique opportunity for expressing love. You know, there's just something about that. You know, we talked about being there, right? The gift of your presence and these things. I mean, especially in times of crisis, it is a unique opportunity to express love, right? That may not happen, you know, too many times in a person's life. In fact, your tender touch will be remembered long after the crisis has passed. In some ways, your failure to touch, right, to that person whose primary love language is physical touch, right, that touch may never be forgotten, right? It will never come back again. You know, let me give you a little tip, guys, right? Not that I know everything, but this I do know. If your woman is crying, the best thing you can do is to hug them, right? That is by far the, you know, and obviously, you know, the opposite sex would be the same way, right? If, you know, but, you know, men don't cry, so it doesn't really matter, right? But when a man does cry, right, the best thing you can do is to hold them, right? There's a power in communicating love by physical touch. There is something just very divine there, you know, something that is very beautiful when done appropriately. You know, and to a person that is their love language, right? It just speaks so much care and love and tenderness, right? It is an incredibly powerful communicator of love to that person. You know, especially like I said, when that primary of love language is physical touch. And so, if you know people in your life, you know that you know their love language is physical touch, right, you should be going out of your way to communicate that love, you know, by an embrace, by, you know, by a hug, you know, a handshake, you know, a pat on the back or whatever it may be. If you're a married couple, you know, and you know that your spouse, that primary love language is physical touch, you should be figuring out different ways, you know, of how to touch them, you know, different opportunities, and really just, I mean, really going out of your way to learn to speak the language of love, right? This is how we love each other, right? This is how we say, God, how can I love my brother? How can I love, you know, my mom or dad, right? It's by learning and understanding and investing time to see, well, what is it that touches or that communicates love to my spouse or to my father or my dad? Because you got to understand that, because otherwise we just miss each other, right? You know, and this happens a lot in relationship. You know, in Chapman's book, he writes this story, and one of the examples, there was this husband, and his wife, was a gourmet cook, and she would just cook these more incredibly elaborate meals, right? But the guy was a regular meat and potatoes man, right? He didn't need to have this fancy sauce and, you know, and like asparagus sticking out of the meat, right? He didn't care about any of these kind of things. He just wanted, you know, just regular meat and potatoes, you know, while she's serving him and expressing this incredible love to him in this way, because when she was growing up, her father loved food. And every time her mother would make this gourmet meal, the dad would just smile, you know, and she'd say, "Man, it's so easy to love you when you cook like this for me," you know, and so that was their love language, and it fit. And, you know, she saw this and saw the mom receiving so much love by these affirmations because of what she did, so she got married, and so she said, "I'm going to serve my husband the most elaborate dinners." You know, I mean, French, Spanish, you know, Italian. I mean, you know, just all these things. And but the husband, because that's not what his love language was, he's like, "Eh, you know, I'd rather have McDonald's, you know, or you know, can't, you know what I mean?" Or just because it wasn't that important to him. In other words, we're talking about acts of service, right? Because we're changing the dialect here. You know, and his love language was physical touch. You know, and so the amazing thing was, she's cooking and doing all these things. She's serving him, right? Because that's what, you know, she's learned to do. But his love language is not acts of service. His love language is physical touch. So she's doing these things. And because her love language is words of affirmation, he's not giving it to her. So what happens to her? She withdraws, right? And she doesn't touch her husband. You know, they don't have sex very frequently. You know, and so there's a marriage on the brink. You know what I mean? And all it took was a counselor to come and just explain very simply, your love language is words of affirmation. Your love language is physical touch. Even though, you know, talking to the woman, even though you cook these wonderful meals, it doesn't really speak that much to your husband, because what he wants is not his stomach to be full. He wants a hug. He wants a pat on the shoulder. He wants sex, you know? He wants, you know, this affirmation, you know, to come in the form of physical touch. You know, on the other way, now the husband, right, you know, the counselor turns over and says, "Look, your wife, the, you know, her love language is words of affirmation. And so what you need to do is you need to affirm your wife." You know, and she cooks the meal, and you have to say, "Honey, that's wonderful. That's great." You know, I mean, you know, obviously, because the food is probably darn good if she's a gourmet cook, right? You know, but you know, you need to express that to one another. And as the couple are expressing these things in a language that the person receives, right, the love tank gets full. And now it's very easy for the wife to touch the husband, very easy for the husband to say great things about the wife. You see how it all kind of flows? You know, and think about the relationships that you have. Think about the significant relationships that you have, right? There is a language by which that person, whoever you're thinking about, your mom, your dad, your grandpa, grandma, your colleague, your best friend, you know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, you know, but that significant person, there's a language, right, that person speaks in the way that they receive love. You got to find out what it is and then give yourself to that, and then vice versa, right? Because, you know, you may think you're serving, you may be thinking you're doing these wonderful things, but if you're not communicating in a language that they can understand, it's not communicating love. You know, and that's where frustration grows. And, you know, and then, you know, people have fights all the time. And, you know, people withdraw emotionally from one another. You know, you may have seen that happen in your own families. You know, very common. You know, because people have not recognized that I need to love X, you know, this person, that person, in a very different way. In a way that they can receive that love. Amen? So let's close our eyes. As we've gone through this whole series now, I want you to think about those significant people in your life that you want to love. That maybe you've been praying, "Lord, teach me to love. And then start identifying, just think through, start identifying their love language. And as you begin to do that, pick some strategies or make a game plan to do it now. Right? Talk is cheap. Thinking about it is even cheaper. Right? Those significant people in your life, learn to love them. Invite the worship team to come up. I want you to encourage you to continue to pray. Start asking for the Lord's help. Right, find the object of your affection.
decided to love this speaker in their life, that they would find out what their love language is and really give themselves to that. Let's pray for one another. Strategic, God, and very caring and loving, God, as we begin to diagnose, Lord God, and begin to find out, Lord, exactly how can we love each other, Lord, in this area of love languages, God, and the people that we, God, that you've set in our hearts to love, Father, we ask, God, that you'd give us strategies, Lord, and ideas, Lord God, an opportunity to really be able to express that love to each other. We thank you, Lord. We bless this church and these people. Watch over us this week, God, and give us opportunities, Lord, to love one another. God, we bless you. We thank you so much. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. So hug someone next to you. Say, thank you for praying for me. Have a great week this week. God bless you guys.